Do we have children who want to come forward for a children's sermon? Are they animated or are they kind of off saying, I'd just as soon be here back here with you guys? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those folks that I just can't wait on things. Do you find yourself doing the same thing oftentimes? It's hard to wait. Hard to be in lines waiting. Having served as a missionary in Argentina for 10 years, we waited in more lines than you can imagine. Everything you had to do was waiting in a line. You couldn't do anything without some kind of line. I thought that by the time I came back to the United States, because I knew we were much more organized and just better prepared, it turns out that we're maybe not quite as bad, but there's still lines everywhere you go. I remember on Tuesday, I had to still buy a few things to get ready for our great festival on Christmas Day with all of our kids coming. It might have even been Christmas Eve, just before I came in, before the services. I stopped by Myers. I thought it was going to take like 10 minutes. Oh, my gosh, the lines. First off, I had to park way out in their back 40 acres. And then I had to walk all the way in. I only had to buy two things, bread and something else. I don't know what it was. And then there was this long line. And that was at the line just to go through where it's 12 and less, where you had to help yourself. Unbelievable. And I tried to be patient, but I kept watching, wondering, hoping that it would go through quickly so I could get in here and get ready for worship. We just don't like to wait in line. Waiting is not part of our custom. In fact, we usually think that if we're waiting for something, something is wrong and needs to be improved, right? If we're waiting in a long line in the morning to go to work behind a bunch of other people who are waiting in line on the expressway, we are convinced something is wrong. There's either an accident or someone didn't spend the millions needed to improve our roads and keep them up to snuff and build more. We're convinced that things are wrong. And so we do whatever it takes in order to avoid waiting. Isn't that true? In our text today, it's all about waiting. Simeon was given a promise that before he died, he would have the opportunity to see the salvation of Israel. It's the light for the Gentiles. He would be able to see the Messiah. And so he was in the temple every day, waiting for the presence of the Messiah. Led there by the Holy Spirit, surely, for it was the Spirit that always rested upon him. It's interesting because there's three sentences that mention the Holy Spirit. The Spirit rested upon him. The Spirit gave him the promise that he would see the Messiah before he died. And it was the Spirit that led him in on this particular day, at this particular time, into the temple. Now, surely during his waiting time, years, months, years of waiting, he didn't just sit down at some comfortable little rollback chair where he could just enjoy life, watch it pass as he waited for the coming of the Messiah. He was involved, especially in the worship of the temple. He was involved in the study of the word. He was involved in prayer. He did all the duties that a Jew of his day would do. And probably had some work to do if he was involved in some way with the temple. So he had things to do, and he kept going about them, but he had to be about waiting for the completion of the promise. And I'd venture to say that in his waiting, he didn't think things were wrong, but rather he continued to develop stronger in faith, remembering the times that other promises God, the Lord, had made were worthy and were completed. All he had to do was to wait on the Lord. And his faith grew ever stronger, confident that, yes, the time would come in which the Lord would dismiss him by allowing him to see the Messiah. And, of course, we know the story leads that on a given day, the same Spirit led him in there, and he saw him, he takes him in his arms, and he's filled with joy. There was a woman, a prophet, who was there, who, after being married for 7 years, her husband passed away, and she continued to be in the temple day and night. She lived there. She was in the temple. And she was now 84 years old, which meant she was there a long time, 60 plus years she lived in the temple. How many of you would like to be able to say that the next 60 years of your life you'd like to spend right here in the sanctuary, or in the building at least? You could forage for food in the kitchen, in the freezer, and in the refrigerator. There's usually things there that you could munch on and pass the time. And then you would come back here, and as Anna, whose name in Greek is Hannah, you would spend time in prayer day and night. How many of you would like to do that? That's because for most of us, waiting is a waste of time. But it wasn't for Hannah. It wasn't for Simeon. It was time to be spent in prayer. It was a time to be spent in reviewing the promises of the Lord. And if they had not spent their time in the temple as designed and said in Scripture, they would have missed God. Just think about that. They would have missed God if they hadn't been there. If they didn't do what they needed to do, they would have missed God, and they would not have grown in faith. You and I see time as something valuable, and when we have to wait, it's seen as wasted time. We find ourselves upset when things aren't done the way they're supposed to be done, when things don't go in the way they're supposed to go. My kids used to get so upset with me because when dinner wasn't ready on time, I got really grumpy because I felt it had to be done at a certain time, and I was the cook. It had to be done at a certain time, and I couldn't get it done, and I just got grumpy. Because I needed food in my stomach. And all this waiting around just seemed endless at times. What a waste. Didn't know what else to do. I had to stir a pot, turn over something, keep an eye on things. It just seemed like such a waste of time. It would have been easier to get on the telephone, call down to the local Pizza Hut, and had it delivered, and it would have all been over. Oh, how much time is wasted in waiting we see. In fact, when we find ourselves waiting so much, what we want to do is jump in and solve the problem, isn't it? First thing you want to do, how come this meeting's taking so long? Let's get this thing moving. Come on, let's go. And we're pressing ahead to get all the business done. How many times have we walked into the meeting and found out, oh, devotions, oh my gosh, oh, how much time is that going to take? All lost time. All wasted time when we could be about the business of the Lord. I'm reminded of the text of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear, it says. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. You know, we're more the kind of people seeing a need and figuring that this waiting is too much of a waste of time. We press ahead. We press ahead. There are things to be accomplished. And so we quickly draw up plans that we are convinced are good ones, and we press on, only to find out that they're bogged down, that we're disillusioned, that the things don't fulfill as we wish. And so out in front of God, we say, hurry up, come up, we're waiting on you. Come join us, because we have problems that need to be solved. That's what waiting on the Lord means in our culture today. Come on, what's keeping you so long? We're up here and you're back there. Come join us. There are problems to be solved. That's how we view waiting on the Lord. It's not how the psalmist sees it. It's not how the lives of Simeon and Hannah saw it, for they waited on the Lord to experience the presence of the Lord and allow the Lord to lead them in the direction they must go. How often do we do that? So many committees that we're involved with, so many things that need to be accomplished. Are we patient waiting on the Lord to hear God's voice, to hear the voice of the Lord, and to give us a direction, to lead us in a direction? Whether it be the high school or middle school planning team, whether it be the vacation Bible school planning team, whether it be the social ministry or the growth in property ministry, are we waiting on the Lord, or are we pressing ahead with our own agendas, then asking God to join us? The text and the people who are in them encourage us to moments of just plain waiting, but not sitting in a chair, head down, dreaming of supper that's going to be there a little bit later than we had originally planned, but a good one nonetheless. Not waiting, just sitting there, hoping that maybe sometime the silence will end and we can get back to the business of the day. Waiting, as portrayed by Simeon and portrayed by Hannah, is deeply moved and enriched by prayer, by the Word of God, by the communication one to the other of the presence of God in Jesus, by hearing and listening to the Word, and by being overtaken by the joy and the presence of God in worship. Our meetings, our gatherings must be grounded in the waiting of the Lord to lead us and direct us and to make God's presence real among us, so that the plans that we set and the directions that we choose are not our own, but truly are God's. And when they are God's plans, they shall be successful, because God only does successful things. So we need to take those times before our meetings, maybe even times after our meetings, certainly in between our meetings, to remember and pray. We ask for your prayers for the call committee from the very beginning, and I pray you're still doing that. And if you are not, then take it up again, because the prayer, the call committee, the Vacation Bible School Planning Committee, the Growth in Property Committee, and all the others that are there are in need of your prayers to help them to discern. Only by waiting on the Lord can we be guided by the Spirit to help us discern the ways and means that we must choose. We may think that's wasted time, but as God made himself present in the actions of Jesus, presenting a child before Simeon and Hannah, and they finally saw the completion of God's promises, so it shall be for all of us. When we come waiting for the Lord, he doesn't just stand off enjoying your silence, rubbing his hands, saying, "I wonder how long they're going to wait." He yearns and longs to come to us and to respond to us. That the words and the promises, "knock and it shall be opened, seek and ye shall find," are true. They're the promises of God. And those who take the time and wait shall be blessed with richness.